Welcome to today's American Prayer Caucus Network telebriefing hosted by Leah Carowan, the Executive Director of the Congressional Prayer Caucus Foundation. During the presentation, all lines will be in a listen-only mode. If at any time you experience technical difficulties, please press star zero and an operator will assist you privately. A question and answer session will follow the remarks by the presenters, and instructions for asking questions will be given at that time. Today we have on this call Congressman Randy Forbes, hailing from Virginia. Congressman J. Randy Forbes is one of our nation's strongest and most effective voices in protecting religious liberties and preserving our Judeo-Christian heritage. Elected in 2001, Forbes serves on the House Judiciary Committee and House Armed Services Committee. He is one of our nation's most forceful advocates for a strong national defense and the protection of religious freedom of our service members and chaplains. As co-chairman of the bicameral Congressional Prayer Caucus, Congressman Forbes leads nearly 100 members of Congress in countering attacks on faith in the public square and preserving religious freedom for future generations. He has introduced legislation passed overwhelmingly in the U.S. House to reaffirm our national motto, In God We Trust. Congressman Forbes rolled back efforts to remove religious references from our nation's public buildings and memorials, worked to protect the right to pray, protected the conscience rights of individuals, business owners, and health care providers, and introduced legislation to affirm the more than 200-year foundation of faith in America. Congressman Forbes is an active member of his church and has taught Sunday school for over 30 years. We begin this call with prayer offered by Leah Carowan, followed by a few opening remarks.
Thank you, Chris. First, I want to take a moment to express my gratitude to every one of you for taking the time to be on this call. I'd like to open us up in a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to come together as government leaders and as men and women of faith who trust in you and know that you are the only hope for our nation. God, we ask that you would now be the lead us as we have this conversation today about how we can partner together and unite to protect religious freedom and also protect your place in America, calling our nation back to prayer and calling our nation to again remember that you are it's our only hope. You are the one in which we trust. We thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So you've been invited to this teleconference because you are a government leader who believes in prayer and religious freedom. Most of you are members of our state legislative prayer caucuses, and some of you are just discovering about this nationwide network of like-minded legislators just now on this call or have recently been invited to this call by a fellow legislator. So welcome to all of you. We're recording this call, and it will be available on our For Government Leaders section of our website, cpcfoundation.com. After the call, we hope to have that up in the next day or so. So just to give a brief overview for those of you who are just learning about us, the Congressional Prayer Caucus Foundation is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization. We work closely with the government leaders in the Congressional Prayer Caucus and the leaders across the nation who are committed to protecting prayer, preserving our Judeo-Christian heritage, and protecting our religious freedoms. And we're here, the foundation is here, to actively support you as government leaders who are on the front lines of this battle every day. Because of our narrow focus, which is God, prayer, religious freedom, we are able to garner support and agreement on both sides of the aisle. We agree that people are not required to check their faith at the door when they enter public life, and that we must be proactive to repel the forces that want to restrict prayer and uproot God from his place in our culture. So there are now nearly 500 legislators at the national and state level who are part of this American Prayer Caucus Network. 15 states have established official state prayer caucuses, and several more are in process. Many of these states have bipartisan chairmanship and are patterned after the Congressional Prayer Caucus, which is an official U.S. House caucus, with nearly 100 members. Some of our prayer caucus members focus primarily on engaging in bipartisan prayer. Others are vocal spokesmen against the attacks on Christianity and faith in America. Others are working across the aisle to provide legislative solutions for protecting religious freedom and America's Christian heritage. And we have now 12 state directors supporting these state prayer caucuses, and these are citizens who are identified in each state who network with other citizens, church and prayer groups, work with our supporting our state Prayer Caucus members sustaining the efforts that they're putting forth. We hope to we are making plans to increase this network to every state in the nation over the next few years. So now we have about 100,000 citizens who also have signed up to pray for you and receive monthly or weekly emails or mailings from us. That number is growing daily, and each of you is highlighted at various times for prayer. So I wanted you to know that we have a huge network of praying citizens who understand who you are and are beginning to commit to praying for you as you are taking bold stands across the nation. A few weeks ago, we convened a summit in Charlotte, North Carolina, with 16 members of Congress. 36 state legislators also joined us, and most of those were active members of the American Prayer Caucus Network. We had our state directors and a handful of key business leaders and policy experts at the conference as well. These government leaders represented 25 states, and they gathered to coordinate a tactical strategy to effectively challenge the growing anti-faith movement in our country. And then the consensus among the participants was that people of faith cannot sit idly by and passively watch as our nation's history and Judeo-Christian heritage are being rewritten with a false narrative. One of the outcomes that came from the summit and the highlight of the summit was a strong and earnest commitment by government leaders to call the nation to prayer. In a solemn and historic ceremony, all who were present signed a Call to Prayer for America proclamation. And in the coming weeks, hundreds of other national state elected officials will sign this similar proclamation, creating a critical and timely nationwide call for unceasing prayer and a return to our spiritual roots. I've asked Congressman Randy Forbes, the founder and co-chair of the Congressional Prayer Caucus, to talk about the summit and this government leader-led movement that we are referring to as Pray USA. I'm not sure if Congressman Forbes has been able to join us yet. I'll ask right now if he has. If not, I will talk about a few logistics and some of the details while we're waiting for him to join us on the call. Congressman, are you on the call with us?
Congressman Forbes has not yet joined.
Okay. I knew that he was having some trouble with scheduling and getting on the call with us today, but I do believe he will be joining us shortly. I know that the congressman, many of you were with the congressman and many of the other national and state leaders at the summit who expressed strong statements of that not only their commitment to ensuring that our religious liberties are protected, but also were willing to take strong stands and join together. And it was encouraging, extremely encouraging to know how many other government leaders were willing to take a strong stand with them. I know one of the prevailing feelings that came out of this summit was that they had hope. The government leaders were hopeful. They were encouraged that there were so many other government leaders at the national and state level that were also in the same position and were willing to stand up together. And so we feel like we had a chance at the summit to sort of expose the critical state of religious freedom, discuss it, what was happening all throughout the nation. And also, we were able to talk at length about the fact that if we do not, the anti-faith, anti-God groups are very well orchestrated, very well funded groups, and that they come together and unite together in a profound way, and it does feel like they're an overwhelming force. And a lot of the groups that are out there that are for protecting religious freedom, they operate oftentimes as individuals. And we want to make sure that we provide an opportunity for these individuals to come together. And so I believe Congressman Forbes has joined us now and would like to share a few words about the summit and the impact and the what the Congressional Prayer Caucus and this network can do together across the nation. Congressman, have you joined us?
Leah, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. There you are.
Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm sorry. We had a technical glitch there. I've been on and got to hear you all the way through. So thank you, first of all, Leah, for what you and the Congressional Prayer Caucus Foundation have been doing and are doing. The second thing, I want to thank everybody that's on this line. We're living in a world where it's so easy just to go about our daily lives, and the whole time we're doing it, we're seeing faith and religious freedom being attacked across the world. In many places across the globe, people are literally losing their lives because they're standing for the faith. And here in the United States, we have seen in just the last decade where if you are not losing your life, you certainly are losing or have at risk of losing everything that you have materially, including your reputation and sometimes your job. And as you look at those attacks and what's happening, all of us could recount the numerous attacks that are taking place across the country today. The problem is, at the end of that, we would have exhausted a lot of our time, but we wouldn't have really hit on what we need to do to stand up to them or why they're happening. If you look at these attacks, they're happening for, there's really two things that are driving them. First of all, most of us, including most of us on this phone, just assumed we'd never have to stand up to them. After all, we got it embedded in our Constitution. For generations of Americans, they never had to worry about whether or not their religious liberty and religious freedom were going to be impacted. All of a sudden, it was as if we went to bed one night and we woke up and we said, oh my gosh, the world has changed and now I need to stand up. The second thing that's important to note is, based on all of our research, this was not a natural evolution. There are some Christians and especially some Christian leaders who just assume that somehow the other people started reading books and they read books and found that the earth was no longer flat, and when they found out it was no longer flat, they started walking away from God, and that's why things have changed. That is just not the case. This is artificially driven. Our researchers have shown very clearly that there are organization after organization after organization that now is being well-funded by one basic core of funders that are having as one of their primary missions the attack on faith and overturning Christian and faith principles across the country. We can show you organizations that just a few years ago were literally bankrupt. Today we'll have $7 million operating funds. And so if you see that, you have a combination of two things. One, people of faith sitting back thinking they didn't need to take any stands or fight to protect religious freedom and religious liberty. And secondly, a well-orchestrated machine, well-funded, that is on the other side that is actually attacking the very tenets of religious faith and freedom in our country. And the problem is, if we outlined all the attacks that all of us on this phone could describe, it would be like describing an iceberg floating on the ocean. We would have described the piece of ice that we saw floating. But the real damage is not that piece of ice. It is the enormous chilling effect that would be beneath the water, to the point in time where now we have young children who literally go to school every day and have the belief that they can no longer even say God in schools. We have churches that are afraid to even invite an elected leader to be in their church or to speak about government because we've had this myth that there's some separation of state that actually prohibits anybody of faith to even talk about government or anybody in government to talk about their faith. And then we've also had this myth put upon us that somehow or the other, if I exercise my faith, that has all of a sudden made me this prejudiced, discriminating individual that's really the bane of society instead of somebody that has character, loving, caring about my neighbor. Now, the result of that is, I think, two things with most people of faith, especially leaders today who are committed to their faith. The first thing is we feel very much alone. Even though we have 30-plus people probably on this call, even though we go into churches that are huge, each of you know when you take a step for faith in today's world, you feel like you are alone and the whole world is attacking you. You want a perfect example of that, look at Governor Mike Pence today in Indiana and look at the battles he's facing, because he's essentially done something that was almost unanimously agreed upon in Congress in 1993 with some of the most liberal senators who are now leading the charge and the attack, who helped propel the same legislation on the federal level that we now see many of our states trying to get on a state level. The other thing, in addition to feeling alone, is people of faith feel very much like we're at a crossroads where we really don't want to face tomorrow. I look at that Proverb 31 where it talks about this exalted woman and the person we talk about on Mother's Day and that we talk about that we love to be our wives. And one of the verses says that she smiled at the future. You find many people of faith today who don't feel they can smile at the future because they feel all the curve lines look so horrible and so bad. And what we have realized and come to realize is that for our country to have any hope and to turn around, and for people of faith to have hope and turn around, we've got to be willing to turn that corner and be able to face tomorrow with a smile on our face. And the way we do that is to recognize this enormous attacking element on faith is not as large as it purports to be if people of faith will just unite on the other side to protect our religious freedoms and our religious liberties. And historically, we have been unsuccessful in trying to unite people on issues because issues sometimes can be divisive and sometimes very difficult. Where we have enormous success is when we unite them on actions. And therefore, the Prayer Caucus Foundation and many of us who are working on these issues have decided that the best thing for us to do is to get issues that can unite us. And two of those issues that we just throw out today for discussions are what Leah alluded to. One of them is we passed a resolution in Congress, 396 members of Congress that voted for it, that reaffirmed our national motto, In God We Trust, and actually encouraged people to put it up. So we are trying to undertake an effort across the country to get God back up on our walls by putting In God We Trust up on the walls. We now have 100 offices in Congress, including the Speaker's office and the Majority Leader's office, which have In God We Trust in them, and the Minority Leader's office, by the way, to put In God We Trust up in those offices. We hope to do that in offices and buildings across America. But then the second and final thing, and I'll close with this, is the need to call this nation back to prayer. And so that's why a few weeks ago we joined in Charlotte and began a proclamation of prayer that we hope will have elected officials all across America joining with us in going into churches across America, playing a small video that we've put together about the importance of calling the nation back to prayer, reading that proclamation, and then literally letting the members of that church come up and sign that proclamation. We think as we do this, we'll have hundreds of thousands of Americans joining with one voice to call this nation back to prayer. I believe that can have a huge impact. It may even be the best chance we have to turn this nation around. So, Leah, thank you for letting me share a few moments with you, and I'll be glad to try to respond to any questions at the end if anyone has any.
Thank you, Congressman. I appreciate that. Let me add just a few logistics to that that might have brought up a few questions in people's minds. So the Congressional Prayer Caucus Foundation is committed to supporting this effort that the government leaders are standing behind in both of these areas, what we're calling the Pray USA Initiative, and we're calling it the Pray USA Government Leaders Calling the Nation to Pray. And as Congressman Forbes said, we hope that hundreds of government leaders will sign on. We started with 52 that signed on at the summit that actually participated in a ceremony. And we also, as many of you know, have had events in the state capitals where we have had several hundred other government leaders sign on to call to prayer proclamations. And we're hoping that hundreds of leaders will sign on, and then we will provide all of the logistics for this call to prayer, and also the In God We Trust Put It Up campaign. And so we've already reached out to many faith organizations. That's often another question we are in collaboration with. We are partnering with the National Day of Prayer, National Prayer Committee, FRC, Wall Builders, so many of the organizations that are out there, AFA, American Family Association, that are active and strong advocates for this same thing. Many major prayer and faith organizations, Catholic, Protestant organizations across the board, we're finding as the government leaders stand up, it convenes everybody to the table. Suddenly all these groups play together and say, yes, if our government leaders are calling us, we are with you. We're behind this. We're also going to help identify churches and putting the word out through all of our partners and collaborators, I guess affiliate is what I'm calling them, all the affiliates who want to promote this as well will be sending it out to all of their churches. And so, you know, just I don't want to get into a lot of the deep details right now, but there's three things that we believe that will be accomplished through this. We believe that it's critical that we break the back of the lie and the misapplication of separation of church and state that Congressman Forbes was talking about. And we think that this will do it. A lot of people are talking about that misapplication, but we believe that the visual and the actual practical action of government leaders going into churches and reading this proclamation and playing a two-minute video about the call to prayer and stepping up in crossing that line and giving pastors courage to invite government leaders in will begin to unite the faith community and also our government leaders and encourage the Christians and the church, again, to get involved in our most important protection of religious freedom. And then, of course, most importantly, we believe it'll increase prayer for our nation in a significant way. So the foundation will be, again, overseeing a lot of the logistics. We will provide websites that will be a place for people to sign. It'll list the government leaders. It will have the downloadable instructions, all of the things that you would hope would be the good resource, this kind of a thing. We'll provide social media opportunities and traditional media, PSAs and things for public service announcements for the radio. We'll also be creating short videos, not only a video that will, I think we're titling Breaking the Back of the Lie and Misapplication of Separation of Church and State, but also one that that government leaders will be able to play in the church when they go in. We're not asking for everybody to make long speeches. I think just the very action of government leaders going into the church, reading the proclamation, playing a video, saying a few words, and then calling the church to pray unceasing, not just for a day, but unceasingly. And so one of the things that we're asking you to do, this will obviously roll out in stages, and this is specifically talking about this call to prayer initiative. This will roll out in stages, but what we're asking right now over the next few weeks is if you would help us get as many government leaders signed on to the proclamation as possible. We know that there are a lot of leaders that want to be a part of this and want to be part of the spearheading unit or group of leaders that are behind this and that are actually in front of this. And so if you could do a couple of things, we have proclamations that we have available, so all those that were at the summit and they'd like to participate, we've already had six states contact us and ask for proclamations so that they could bring them to their state legislatures and have their peers sign a proclamation, and then we provide instructions and all you need to send it back to us. We'll scan it. We'll put it on the website. We also have had some legislators who are announcing this at their House and Senate floors and providing the proclamation there. Other legislators are hosting signing ceremonies in their states. And also, if you're willing, we'd like you to reach out to other states and other legislators in other locations that maybe don't know yet about this and you think would be like-minded and like to sign on. And you can contact us, the CPC Foundation, specifically Jessica Young at cpcfoundation.com. We'll be coordinating a lot of these resources for you, or you can call us at 757-546-2190. Extension 700. I know a lot of you probably don't have pen and paper ready, so we'll be making this available. Plus, you can always just go to cpcfoundation.com and reach us any of us will be able to answer and help you. And then once we get, we'll probably take 3 or 4 weeks to get all the logistics in place, government leaders, more and more government leaders signed on, then in a few weeks, probably mid-April, we'll start turning our attention to promoting this out to churches and making the citizens aware. There will be a huge promotional push at that point to reach out to churches and organizations that want to be a part of this Pray USA movement. And then as Congressman Forbes said about In God We Trust, that will be a significant sort of next steps action for people to take. So they come together, they pray, they participate in this call to prayer, and then they say, what else? What can we do now physically that will practically? And we can turn around right around and say, how about putting God back up in America? We have this In God We Trust campaign. Please take a moment. You can put it up in your schools, your churches, and there's an entire logistical element there, too, that we've provided at InGodWeTrust.com. So we're trying to make this a really easy for you to participate in. And then just before we go to Q&A, which I want to open up in just a moment, there was one very, very prominent request that came when we were at the summit. We asked for feedback from the legislators, and our state legislators across the board asked for equipping and supporting for religious liberty legislation. You asked, could we provide you resources and the ability to get not only talking points, but also best practices legislation regarding religious freedom, and who are the best law and policy people to reach, and what are some good ideas? And so we have provided that for you at our website, cpcfoundation.com. We provided a For Government Leaders section. It's at the very top of our website, and you click on that button. It's password protected. We'll just ask you to simply create a password. You can go in there, and we have tried to create a really comprehensive resource for you with all the things that you might need to pass excellent, enduring religious liberty legislation. And we're just the beginning of populating that section for you. More will be coming, but there is some information there that I think might be very helpful. And the tape, this particular telebriefing will also be available at that For Government Leaders section for you as well. So if you need any more information about the foundation, the network, establishing a prayer caucus, any of the initiatives we've talked about, you can come to cpcfoundation.com, or you can contact Jessica at cpcfoundation.com. We'd be more than happy to help you with anything. So with that, now I'd like to open up the lines for Q&A and comments.
Thank you, Chris, Leah. At this time, we'll begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, press 0 followed by a 1 on your touch-tone phone. Questions will be answered in the order they are received. If you have a question, press 0 followed by a 1 now, and please hold for a moment while our system compiles your responses. We do have one question in queue. It comes from Ms. Summer Ingram. Please go ahead. Ms. Ingram, your line is live.
Yes, thank you, Chris. I actually was just even thinking on behalf of legislators, what if they've already had a call to prayer ceremony in their capital? How do they proceed as far as joining this effort for the call to prayer for America?
Thanks, Summer. Right. I would like to cover that because, like I mentioned, several of our legislators have signed a call to prayer in their capitals over the past couple of years with us through establishing their prayer caucuses. And I would love to include their names in this call to prayer. What we're going to do is we're actually going to reach out to each state who has already done a call to prayer and give them the list of legislators that signed on to their call to prayer proclamation and ask for permission to include their names in this call to prayer nationwide. I know that they were doing a state-specific call to prayer, but it's very similar to what we're doing at the national level at this point. So I'm guessing that many will say, absolutely, I'm part of this whole thing, add my name to it, but we don't want to do that without permission. So we will be reaching out to each state with a list of names and asking each one to affirm that they would like their name included.
Thank you.
Thank you, and we have no additional questions. Thank you all for participating in this telebriefing. As a reminder, if you'd like more information about the Foundation and the American Prayer Caucus Network, you can contact Jessica Young at cpcfoundation.com or call 757-546-2190, extension 700. You will also find contact information on the email applications. Anyone on our staff will be able to help. Now, I would like to welcome Congressman Forbes to close us in prayer.
Thank you. If you'd all just join with me in prayer, and just to remind everyone, each week when we go into session, at the beginning of the session, it's on a Monday or Tuesday night, and the sessions always begin, the first one, at 6:30 on whatever the first night is that we go back in session. We go in to a room that's called Room 219, and we begin in prayer. We pray for many of you. We pray for people around the country. But I'm going to now close the way we close there every single week. Lord, we just thank you so much that you are the God of the universe. We pray, Lord, for your blessings, that you would give us wisdom and that you would give us the vision that you would have us to have to govern this great country. And now, Father, we just pray in the name of your Son, Jesus, collectively, Lord, that you would heal our land. But in the name of your Son, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you all for your attention. This concludes today's conference call. All participants may now disconnect.